Gracious Father, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I commit this service before you and ask of your Holy Spirit, O God, to begin to illuminate our mind and our hearts. And Lord, not just hearing of your word, but become the doers of your word. I ask of you, Lord, as we depend on your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. Today we entitle our message, The Power of Prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 11, and these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Today we're going to talk about the power of prayer in the life of Daniel. The book of Daniel speaks a lot of this current situation that we are going around today in this world. The issues where culture is constantly being redefined. The matters of secularization, pluralization, and privatization is pushing its agenda, redefining our biblical value and framework. And this is similar to the same way what Daniel was going through. And let us look at the context in the book of Daniel. And I pray that you have read the book of Daniel in your life before. In the book of Daniel, we need to go back to the history of Israel. When Israel is under the rule of King Solomon. And after King Solomon's reign, the kingdom began to split into two. It resulted in two kingdoms. The southern kingdom is called Judah, and the northern kingdom is called Israel. These two kingdoms were in exile. The Assyrian took the northern kingdom into exile, and the southern kingdom fell under the Babylonian Empire. Daniel was in exile, and he was in the southern kingdom and taken to captivity in Babylon. The main objective of the Babylonian Empire was to reprogram their minds and their heart, and that involved in literature that addressed the imagination, that involves in psychology that addressed the power of their reasoning, then it draws in the language that addressed the power of communication, and especially in literature, it stirs their imagination, psychology stirred their way of thinking, the language stirred in their way of communication. That is why Daniel and the three Hebrew children were in Babylon, they changed their name from a Hebrew name to a Babylonian name. They want to change the culture, change your mindset, change everything in your heart. But in the midst of ever-evolving change in exile, Daniel kept something that is close to his heart, the reflection of the power of God, that is the power of prayer. Today, we look at the life of Daniel. In all the 12 chapters of Daniel, the story of Daniel is a marvelous answer to one prayer after another, one glorious deliverance to another, in response of the agonizing intercession of the Lord before Lord in prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says to us that I set my face toward the Lord God and make requests by prayer, supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. All of us, we understand about prayer. We know about prayer, but how many of us pray? Today, I'm not here to scold you, but to stir your heart in prayer. Many times we know, but how many of us we do? But if you look in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, he faces the king wrath and refused to eat the forbidden fruit, food, drinking alcohol and beverages, all because he's a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 2, in answer to prayer, he tells the king the dream that he had forgotten, interpreting the whole revelation of the history of Israel to the end time, all because he's a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 4, he interpreted the king of the facing the madness, all because he's a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6, he delivered from the lion's den, all because he's a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 9, in agonizing prayer, revealed Daniel and about the prophecy that has come, outlined the history of God's people and the coming of Christ, consumption of the age, the revelation of the 70 years that is to happen, all because this man is a man of prayer. Daniel was the same man like us, but yet he was a man of prayer. Number one, a line of humility. The Bible says that Daniel was a man of excellence. He was a noble man. He was three times, the Bible says. God refers to him as a man of greatly beloved. He was honored to serve three monarchy of what an excellent spirit that he carried in his life. But watch this. When Daniel approached God, he bowed in humility, in contrition. My dear brothers and sisters, when we approach God, we ought to come in the same manner of humility. We thank God for blessing us in the nation. We thank God for this beautiful sanctuary. We thank God for all things that He blessed us in this nation compared to others. But we need to remember, we need to humble our hearts and cry to God. And just as Psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, save such as a contrite spirit. The Bible did not say the bishop. The Bible did not say the prophet. The Bible did not say the man of God. The Bible did not say whatever. The Bible say the Lord is near. When we come with a broken heart, we come a contrite spirit, the Lord is near. That is the promise of God to us. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 27, Abraham approached God. He cried out, O Lord God, behold, I have taken myself and speak to thee, whom I am but a dust and ash. Abraham, the father of faith, comes before the Lord God and say, God, I am nothing before you. And church, we can learn like Abraham. He come before God and say, God, I'm nothing before you, O God. Looking at the life of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, verse 2, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, woe is me, I am undone. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've dwelt in the midst of people of unclean lips. Even though Isaiah writes 66 book of Isaiah, he wrote about the suffering of Christ. He got the revelation of the coming Messiah. He's seen the goodness of God. He's seen the glory of God. But yet when he see the Lord, he said, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. Many believers, Christians say, Pastor, I want to see the Lord. You know, in fact, if God won't reveal himself to you as he will, his sovereign will, he can do it. But when he revealed to you, he's not to show you and not for you to begin to that. Well, I see the Lord. But if you truly see the Lord, you'll fall on his face like John the apostle, when he book of Revelation, when he saw the Lord, he fell down like a man that is dead. That is the spirit of humility in our hearts. You look in the life of David, not on the slide, in Psalms 5 verse 7. You're writing the scripture down. Psalms 5 verse 7. For as for me, when I come before you in the multitude of your mercy, this is our cry today, God, be merciful. When was the last time you cried for the mercy of God? Without the mercy of God, we are nothing. God has blessed us in everything in our life. But this is my prayer every day, Pastor. Lord, be merciful. Be merciful. You look through the Bible, and every man and woman that cries out to Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. Every time I turn and I look, man or woman, the cry of mercy, God never turned, Jesus never turned away from them, because there is a cry of mercy. Number two, a line of discipline. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face towards the Lord God, make requests of prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel, we look at it. He purposed in his heart and he prayed. You know, church, God can answer us our prayer through prayer. When we pray, God can answer our prayer. There are times in our life God will stir us, move us, allure us to a place of fasting. And I want to challenge you today, a place of fasting. Oh, Pastor, this is not my cup of coffee. I got a gift of feasting. When some Christians say, only when God speaks to me to fast, I fast. Well, and how many times God tell you a day, how many times you must eat? It's a matter of discipline in our life. The Lord, by His grace and mercy, we just finished the 90 days in July the 13th. Every year God will lead us as a church. Nobody can allure you. Nobody can force you. Nobody can begin to stir you. Only the Holy Spirit can stir in your heart to seek the Lord. Some Christians begin to argue and begin to say, oh, fasting is not today. I say, wait till you begin to find the enemy coming knocking at your door. Wait till the devil come knocking at your door. I see whether you feast or you fast. I want to challenge you. A time of fasting. Even one day fasting. 2 days fasting. Don't go into 90 days fasting if God have not spoken to you. By one day fasting in honor to the Lord. The Hebrew style of morning, 6, evening, 6 p.m. Just one day, 1 week, once you fast, 1 year, you do 52 days of fasting. 1 week, twice you fast. 1 year, you do 104 days. If one day we cannot, God have mercy on us. I want to challenge you today. How much can you eat? Anyway, chicken is very hard to get. So if chicken is very hard to get, the chicken may be praying, oh, God, have mercy. Today is not my day of slaughter. So one day there will be scarcity of food. One day we will face this problem in the world. Price will go higher, whatever it may be. Even then, you eat 1 meal a day, you will not die. You will live. And church, as you know, when a man or woman go into surgery, the doctor will say 24 hours, tidak makan. All right? Nothing. And then the doctor dissect and trisect you like a rabbit. So we fast and pray. We open our hearts to God and let the Holy Spirit do a spiritual surgery in our life. Amen. Amen. God hears that. Amen. Make sure you do. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel faced Jerusalem. He kneeled down on his knees 3 times a day. He prayed and gave thanks to God. And as a custom of each day, he set his face toward Jerusalem. There was a posture that followed the intensity of prayer in agonizing. The act of Daniel 3 times a day showed that he was a man of discipline. We are very disciplined in our life. Tomorrow is a Monday. We rise up early. We go, take our own personal car or begin to take the MRT. And those who are taking the public transport, we are very disciplined in our timing. We know what time the bus will come. We know what time the MRT will come. We get hit. We miss that time. We are drowned with a mixed multitude of people that comes into the MRT station. If we come in early, then we like, praise the Lord, amen, I got a seat in the MRT. Because we are very disciplined. But church, let me give to E.M. Bounds, he began to say, our prayer, however, need to be pressed, persuaded, with an energy that never tries. A persistence will not be denied, and a courage will never fail. Remember, when the people in the king's court got jealous about Daniel, they coerced the king and signed a decree that no one should pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet he disciplined his heart. You know, I'm a qualified scuba diver. In scuba diving, there is a rule. The rule is plan your dive and dive your plan. If today we're going to dive, the dive master will tell us, all right, 40 minutes dive. We will dive in this sector. We will go by the anchor line, and we go in this direction. And then we keep on to the time, 40 minutes, and then we do a decompression dive before we come up. So can you imagine when we go down to the base of the sea, we decide to change our plan and go that way while the boatman is there and we are there. God have mercy on me. So likewise, when you begin to plan your prayer, you pray. You say, Pastor, what happened if I fail? Keep on doing. Psychology says to us, whatever you do for 15 minutes or the next 21 days, become a habit in your life. So you keep on pressing. You keep on pressing. You keep on pressing. You don't open the foothold for the devil and condemn you. You keep on pressing until you break through in your life. We are very disciplined in many areas, but we are not disciplined in prayer. I want to challenge you. Discipline your life in prayer. God wants to raise up a company of praying believers. 5 as a company. 7 is a company. 700 is a company. 800 is a company. 1 million is a company. Only God knows how many is in the company of praying believers. I believe today God spoke to your heart in prayer, that you began to intercede and pray. And ladies and gentlemen, you got a time in the world to begin to fast and pray. This lockdown, the 2 years lockdown, is good. I tell the church it's good. Many Christians complain, got no time to read, no time to pray, no time, no time, no time. God say, I give a lot of time. No pastor, no leader, no song leader, no worship, no liturgy, everything kosong, you and God. This is a discipline in our life. To me, the lockdown was good because I can take time to be with the Lord. Oh, no, amen. I take time with the Lord. This side, praise God, this side we'll pray for you. The Lord is stirring your heart. Number three, the line of intention. What is the line of intention? Daniel's intention was not about Daniel. Daniel's intention was the plan and the purpose of God coming to pass. Let me repeat that again. Daniel's intention was not about Daniel. Daniel's intention was the plan and purpose of God. It's about the temporaries and the eternities. It's about the situation, the people, the will of God to be done. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. Daniel chapter 9. O Lord God, incline thy ears, open thy heart, open thy eyes, beg your pardon, and behold, O Lord, hear, forgive, O Lord, hearken, O my God, thy city, thy people cry, thy people call upon thy name. If you look at this scripture, you can feel the earnestness, intensity of that supplication before God. Here is a man that honestly, the intention of earnestly, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 18, he bowed down in humility. He bowed down in discipline. He has intention in his heart. He said, God, I pray that you will intervene in this nation, O God. I want to read to you in Psalms 80, verse 14. Your Bible, turn with me. Psalms 80. Verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version, black ink printed in white paper. I know you're taking an electronic Bible, but let me tell you, in the beginning was not iPhone, but the beginning was the Word of God. The Lord loved those who have iPhone, but God loved much more who have black ink in white paper. In Psalms 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength. Come and save us. Verse 3, restore us, O Lord, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7, the same thing. Restore, O us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine. We shall be saved. In verse 19, three times he says, restore, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine. And we shall be saved. This was a cry of David. And said, God, I pray that your glory will shine. Today we are praying for revival. And church, God is sovereign and he can send revival. But if God do not send revival in my time, but you and I can pray, oh God, I pray that you send revival for the next generation. If it don't happen in mine, we pray and sow the seed so the next generation has received the recipient of the prayer of the blessing of the former generation. They know that this generation prayed for and they received the blessings of God. But yet at the same time, our prejudice and our pride. What is our prejudice and our pride, Pastor? Our prejudice and our pride is, oh, it must happen in an English-speaking church. But God is sovereign. Why not happen in a Chinese-speaking church? Oh, very quiet. Okay, right. Oh, now we have all the high-sounding words. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the Chinese-speaking church may have all the lingo, but one thing I know, they're the heart of prayer. Simple in their mind, simple in their heart. Yes, we pray for the temporaries, the I, my job, my this, my family, my work, whatever. But look at Daniel. He began to pray for eternities. Lord, I pray, look down. May God begin to say to us, as psalmist began to say in 80 verse 14, he said, Lord, look down from heaven and see and visit this vine. May we pray and say, God, may you look down from heaven and look at St. Andrew Church, oh God. Look at this, oh God. Lord, visit this vine, oh God. Lord, we need you, God. Lord, I pray that your name will be glorified. Not about me, but it's about you. This must be our prayer in our hearts. Today we are living in a world that is ever changing. They try to redefine our biblical value and our framework and church until and unless we pray through and seek the Lord and ask God, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. 2001-9, Pastor. 2021, I can't remember. The Lord speaks to my heart and says, son, do you think Singapore is immune to the judgment of God? My mind flipped. I was going for preaching on a Sunday. So this mass is very powerful. Why this mass is very powerful? Because I can wear the mask and I travel in MRT and I pray. I pray all the way under the mask. I pray. If I pray without the mask, people think you shout. So I put the mask and I began to pray. I pray. When I reached the church, the Lord said, do you think that Singapore is immune? Then the Lord said to me, son, AD 33. I said, what is AD 33, Lord? You tell me this, you tell me that, AD 33. I'm putting every thought together. Then the Holy Spirit began to say, son, did not I prophesy to Jerusalem, Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I come to you, but you not. But your house will lay waste in desolation. 37 years later, the prophecy came to pass. Then the Holy Spirit said, so do you think Singapore is immune? I said, God, have mercy on us, oh God. Then we challenged the church to begin to pray. And I want to challenge you, what you see this nice building, it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we come to say, oh God, be merciful unto us, oh God. In conclusion, prayer, there is power in prayer. Power is guaranteed. But God is looking for a man and a woman to pray. We all know power in prayer. But God is looking for a man. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I'm looking for a man and woman that stands in the gap to begin to pray. But I found none. And I pray that when God looks down in this congregation, he began to say, yes, I found a man and I found a woman. If God has stirred your heart, you be obedient to God. Nobody can force you to fast and pray, pray and fast. But if you're obedient to God, your reward will not be on earth. Nobody will say, hey, but Scully, you are very good. You tap you on the shoulder. But yet God is looking for a nameless, faceless, and rangless man and woman to pray. Your reward will not be on earth, but your reward in heaven. When you step into heaven, Jesus will say, thou good and faithful servant, come into the joy of the Lord. Not all of us can go to mission, but some of us are called to stay. As I look across this congregation, some of us are called to begin to pray, waiting and praying, seeking and praying, praying and praying. Nobody knows, but you know deep in your heart that is a call of God. And may God begin to bless your heart. In conclusion, let me give you 3 points for the takeaway for your cell group. The allegation of prayer. Out of 100%, what percentage do you give content to your prayer? For example, your job, 10%. Prayer against fear, 25%. Are you happy with what you allocated? Number two, is prayer an entitlement or is a means to the end? If it's neither, then what is prayer? On two occasions, Jesus taught on the way one should pray the Lord's Prayer, how he applied the Lord's Prayer in our life, taking in consideration the answer for point one and point two. I leave this to you. A line of discipline. High humility, beg your pardon. A line of discipline. And number three, a line of intention. Let us stand to our feet. You have been sitting for some time. Could you stand? I want to pray for you this morning in all humility. All eyes closed and all head bow. I believe God has spoken to your heart. In all humility, you say, Pastor, God has spoke to me about prayer. Even you spend 20 minutes a day, God bless your heart. It's consistent, persistent. God will honor that. And God's spoken to you, skip your meal and fast. How much can you eat? I always tell them, how much can you eat? Every corner you go is food court, food court, food court. And every day, one day, God said, I'm going to cut you. Not food court, food cut. Then what happened? If God speaks to you, you and God. God and you. Pastor cannot answer for you. Bishop cannot answer for you. You and God. God will say to you, I'm talking to you. All eyes closed and all head bowed. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart to discipline. And I want to persist in that. And I want to pray for you wherever you are. Lift up your hands so that I can pray for you. Yes, God sees that hand. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. Yes, God sees that hand. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Gracious Father, I pray right now. As you see the hands that are lifted up, I ask of you to give them the strength, the grace, and anointing, O God. Even as they spend time in prayer, God, you will honor their prayer. Lord, I pray that you stir within their heart. Father, these are your servants who are the nameless and the faceless, O God, that you, where they stand before you, Lord, that you begin to bless them richly for your glory and honor. Today, I commit them before you. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.